Good morning. How are you? Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast on the Rehoboth Social Podcast Network, brought to you by nobody. I am Tom. I'm an alcoholic. It is the 3rd of August. We survived the weekend. I hope everybody is doing well. We had our first confrontation over masks on the Friday or Thursday. A lady went after us on Facebook.
Smoke signals come with the fire. Better run, run for your life, yeah. To the mountains, better get higher, better get higher. We get higher.
Issue. So I don't know where you're at. I don't know how your life is, coronavirus life is, masks life is, but you know, it's challenging. It is definitely challenging. And I think it was Thursday or Friday. You know, so where I work, we're required, you know, clients must come in with masks. We clean between clients, sanitizing, all that stuff. But, you know, it's been hot. And then, listen, I'm not going to make a bunch of excuses. We just got lax. And a lady came in, and I had a client come in. He wasn't wearing a mask. I think he came in with a mask, but sat down and took his mask off. You know, as time goes by, I start getting a little bit more lax. You know, it's weird, you know, when you don't, you hear everybody around you catching this coronavirus. But I haven't had one sign or symptom. I felt like early in March, I felt like something weird was going on, but I have never been tested. I feel fine. And that's the problem, right? You know, we feel fine, but we could still be carrying it asymptomatic, carrying it and spreading it and not realizing it. So I may be guilty of that. I don't even know. You know, they say get tested. You could also have a positive-negative test or a negative-positive test. So I don't, it's just crazy. So this past week, we had, so my client was in without a mask. I had mine down. You know, when you go to a restaurant, you wear your mask in, they seat you, and then you're allowed to take your mask off. That's not what we're allowed to do in the salon, but the other day, I guess I just was, you know, had my mask down under my chin, and then I had another lady that was working, and her two clients came in, and they sat down, and they had their mask down, and this lady that was here, the person that was doing her hair, she asked her if she wanted to reschedule, and she goes, I don't think so. I don't feel comfortable. Nobody in here is wearing masks. And so this, an employee, or not an employee, a stylist that works here, came over and said, we need to have a conversation. And I could tell that it was tense. I'm like, what's up? My client said she doesn't want to come back because no one's wearing masks. And that is, you know, not right. So this is like, this is sobriety, you know. I said, well, all you had to do was tell us. I would have put my mask on, you know, just have a conversation. You know, I'm not doing a very good job. Remind me. All she had to do was remind me. Hey, you know, we need to keep our masks up. Or need some of us, maybe we have, we're taking care of older folks or, you know, whatever the situation is. But we need to be wearing our mask. I needed to be reminded. Unfortunately, I dropped the ball. And, you know, so the lady leaves. So then I check my Facebook, and there it is, this whole thing. I can't recommend the salon. The owner doesn't wear a mask. Nobody wears masks. They don't care about their employees. They don't care about their customers. And I'm like, God damn, this is like shit. This is the shit that really can, you know, wreck your foundation of sobriety or wreck my foundation of sobriety. You know, I want to go ballistic. Restraint from pen and tongue and texting. I added the texting. But there it talks about in the program, restraint of pen and tongue. Take a second. Take a breath. Don't go on your first reaction. Maybe go on your second reaction. Run it by somebody. Don't say something you're going to regret. Don't text, type something you're going to regret. And I love the term, you know, crow is best eaten warm, which means handle this now, fix it now, make your amends, recognize my mistakes, become aware, do a better job. You know, in the past, I'd be like, fuck you, bitch, you know, whatever, fuck you, this is, I'm a victim here. Nope, not this time, people, it was my fault. And I wrote back, you know, listen, all you had to do was tell me. We're right there. I'm 6 feet away from you. All you had to do was say, Tom, masks, bro. I'd have been like, absolutely. She wouldn't have been the first lady to have to do that. I have another lady that's super paranoid. She'll tell anybody, ma'am, you need to put your mask over your nose. My fault. All she had to do was say something. And I wrote that on the response. All you had to do was say something. We're right here. You know, it's hot. We're, you know, this past week has been brutal. And it's brutal wearing a mask. I mean, so, like I said, no excuses. My fault. I screwed up. But I was like, listen, all you had to do was tell me. Well, and, but that's not what happened. She went to Facebook, and that really pissed me off. And I said, listen, all you had to do was tell me. And we kind of got, she had a response, and it allowed me to have another response. But my response was, I'll try to do better. Thank you. We'll try and do better. Thank you. And then she wrote something else, and then I wrote, you know, and I tried to take the high road, but I had to get a little dig in, right? I'm still fucking a maniac. And I wrote, the problem that this lady has, a mask won't fix. And it was kind of a low blow. You know, her basic response was, give it the program, whatever. It was a little dig. I shouldn't have said it. But I do feel like this is what these masks are creating, this negative place where people are just becoming really nasty. And, you know, the unknown is so scary to some people. I mean, the problem is that nothing really around me. Nobody. I mean, my mom got COVID-19, but she had a fever one night and then she was fine. She didn't have any more symptoms, but she tested positive for it. And then you have a person that tests positive for it and dies. You know, my buddy Carlos, his dad passed away last week in Las Vegas, and they got the report back, and it said that he passed away from the coronavirus. Are they just saying that because they're now a hotspot? I don't know. It's very weird, and it's hard to understand. So the point, really, of this whole conversation was that, you know, this has nothing to do with drinking. This is thinking. This is about pride and ego and finding some humility, recognizing that I'm in the wrong, which I was. I was in the wrong. My mask was down, finally. I mean, final. That's it. That's the facts. Our mask was down. My client's mask was down. And there was another lady in this salon with her mask down. I need to do a better job about that. Do a better job with that kind of stuff, and I'll avoid this shit. You know, I don't want somebody to not come to my salon, our salon. I don't want another lady to not, a stylist to lose a client because of something that is really my responsibility. And as kind and humble as I was, I took a little dig, and I probably need to make an amends about it. I probably need to send that lady a message and say, listen, we're going to try to do better. I apologize by my little dig that I put in there. We appreciate you. I'm sorry. And move on. Clean up my side of the street. That's what Matt used to always say. As long as you keep your side of the street clean, you're good. My side of the street isn't clean this morning. It's a little dirty. And that's about ego and my pride. You know, nobody wants to be wrong. I don't want to be wrong. And I definitely don't want to be wrong on Facebook. You know, we don't have a lot of complaints. I don't think we have any complaints. Had the salon 10 years. I think we've maybe had a couple. But I don't even know what they were. They were definitely not bad complaints. You know, and I felt like, you know, jumping on my soapbox. Look at, you know, you can tell by our amount of complaints. I was wrong. And I needed to do better about that today. And I'll have to think about this. I may have to send that lady a note and just apologize again and tell her. And I, you know, that's the other thing. I have to make an amends. I have to clean up my side of the street regardless of the response from her. Because you know what? There's a good chance that her response, I could sit here and send her a text and say, listen, I apologize. You were right. I was wrong. I'm sorry. And she may still say, I'm not coming back there. I don't like your attitude. And that may be just the way it is. And that's going to have to be fine. She earned that right when I fucked up. That's just how it goes sometimes. Oh, man. Getting sober ain't easy. Staying sober is harder. That's just what's going on. Yeah, man, I hope everyone's still doing well. I just want to be a better person, and I want to be a better service to others. And, you know, this is something early in sobriety when I first got sober. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. 4 or 5 years into sobriety, I was absolutely out of my mind. But I wasn't drinking. But I was out of my mind, and I didn't have any clue. I didn't have any idea. There wasn't something a sponsor could have said. Listen, man, 4 or 5 years, you're going to be out of your mind. I didn't realize it till I look back on it today, and it wouldn't be much longer until I would have a drink. I was out of my mind. I had no clue what I was doing. If you're 4 or 5 years sober and going, geez, I feel like I'm out of my mind, you're probably in the right place. You know, it's been long enough. It's been a while. That memory fades. You know, I don't know what the answer is. I felt like I was doing all the right things at the time. And now, hopefully, like I said, in December, if all things go all right, and I keep doing what I'm doing, you know, I'll celebrate 12 years. And today, I don't necessarily feel out of my mind. Today, I feel like I'm a little more in my mind, which can be a little scary too. You know, I want to fix this with this lady. I want to send her a message. I want to apologize. You know, what's that about? You know, I want it to be about me preserving my serenity, me preserving the peace that I have, me preserving the place that I'm in that allows me to stay sober. But is it my ego? Am I doing it rightly? Have I done enough? You know, it's that whole shopping cart thing. You know, am I taking this shopping cart all the way back to the store, hoping that people are noticing? Or can I just be fine with, can I just let it be and just try to be better at what, at the masks, at, you know, making people feel safe. You know, we've, I think somebody even wrote on there, hey, we've, I've been there, they always have their masks. We always usually have our masks. But today was, that day was just the day, you know, that exposed us. You know, the hard part is that you can do, you can be 99.9% great in that 0.01%, and that's all they notice. You know, I can do an amazing haircut. I can do an amazing color. It looks great. But miss one little hair that hangs over the ear, and that's all they see. Well, it's very interesting, you know, test for me, and being sober and just trying to, you know, do the right thing, especially when I think that I'm doing the right thing. And a lot of times I'm not. And, you know, it's tough. Just getting sober is not easy. So what else is going on? Oh, I was going to, yeah, I don't know if I can read the daily reflections. I mean, I nobody said I can't, but I don't. You know, getting, I don't want to be the, I don't want to screw up somebody getting sober. I just want to just share what I go through, but I don't want to somehow give an opinion or make it feel like it's a bad idea or a good idea. So I don't know. I love reading the daily reflection. I just don't know if I'm allowed to. And like I said, I would hate to hurt somebody's chances of getting sober because if I read it or implied something that I shouldn't have. I know that for me today, what I'm learning is that, I don't know what I'm learning. What the fuck am I even talking about? Sometimes I have no idea. What I'm figuring out is, though, is sometimes what I think is the right thing to do is probably the wrong thing to do. And the least thing that I thought I would do is probably the right thing. I'm basically reprogramming myself. And what I've thought was for so long was the right thing has probably been the wrong thing. And it's like I should have skipped the draw, you know, skipped the whole thing, what I wrote back to her, and I should have just said, thank you, we'll try to do better, I apologize. But I had to get that little dig in. You know, that's old behavior. And it's, yeah, it felt good at first, but it's not set well with me. It's like a zit, you know, it's fucking festering. And I'm going to have to pop it. And popping it means I'm going to have to apologize. You know, I love that train song, you know, woke up to the smell of burning bridges. I don't like that smell. I used to wake up to the smell of burning bridges a lot. I don't like that. It's not a good smell. And, you know, being sober does not guarantee that I'm not going to wake up to the smell of burning bridges. And I kind of woke up to the smell of a burnt bridge the other morning. And, you know, my ego's like, yeah, you let her have it. You told her. It's not my job today. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be available to do better. You know, I watched a documentary the other night. It was called Oh, Hi, Oh. And it's about the drug problem that's going on in Akron, Ohio. Meth, heroin. You know, it just reminded me what a fucking gift I have today. You know, I remember when I was in San Diego and I got in trouble. My parents saved my life. You know, I've always said, you know, my parents have helped me too much. But I tell you what, there was a time if they hadn't been there, my life would be a completely different show. You know, one of the things about, and people, you know, probably are familiar with this, is when you get caught drinking or drugging, you know, you get put into the system. I think they should get rid of probation, quite honestly. You know, get caught, do your time, pay for your crime, and be done with it. But why put you on this probation just to keep you in the system? But whatever, that's for a whole nother podcast. But when I got in trouble in San Diego, my dad said, listen, we're moving. We think you should come with us. If you want to stay, you're on your own. And I was like, I better go. He said, great, we're moving, we're headed there. When you get out of this Camp West Fork, this probation camp in the Big Bear Mountains, go get a rental truck, pack up your apartment, and head to Delaware. And I was like, all right. And I'm in there, I'm like, I'm not going to get high anymore. I'm not going to use anymore. I'm done. And I got out of that place, and it wasn't one day, and I was already high. Already high on meth. And that's a tough one, man, because that high is pretty freaking enjoyable. I mean, there are a lot of, you know, it's a nightmare. But when you're in that lifestyle, it's pretty fun. And so to take a hit off that pipe, as soon as I got out, I was already back in it. But I'd already committed to my parents. I'm on my way, and I had to fucking somehow pull together a rental truck, unpack my apartment. It took a freaking couple weeks. Got out of there. But if I didn't have my parents and they hadn't helped me, I'd still be there high. And now I'm on this probation. Now I'm checking in with the probation officer. Now I'm pissing dirty. Now I'm going back to the jail. It's a freaking constant revolving door. And somehow I got out of there. Moved to Delaware, and I replaced meth with alcohol. That's when the alcoholic version of me showed up. And I started using alcohol like I was using meth. I had no hope, nothing on the horizon. And I just sunk into a drinking stupor. And then finally, you know, I was able to get sober somewhat, you know. I'm available for when these kind of situations arise. Anyway, I don't want to be a downer. Grateful to be sober today. Very blessed. I have a life beyond my wildest dreams, and it doesn't consist of a lot. It consists of a lot of great things. It's just normal. It takes a lot of freaking work to be normal. Now it's my job to remind myself that normal isn't amazing. It's just normal. And to be grateful for that. This band, Elephant Heart. So all weekend they've been having the Lollapalooza 2020 festival, which would have taken place, I'm sure, in some field somewhere, but they've, you know, live streamed a lot of bands, and they did it over, it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They live streamed a lot of bands. I don't know. I think they were recorded, but they're recorded live. I'm not sure what was going on, but I ran into some cool bands, and one of the bands was Elephant Heart, Love is the Weapon. And when I was watching these people play, it may be just a guy and a girl. Guy doing digital stuff, playing a drum machine, and her singing. I felt like I was kind of watching like the beginning of a real big future for this band. And the band's name is Elephant Heart, and they're really fun. And another band I saw on there, which I'm totally digging, was a band called Mount Joy. The guy reminds me of a young Bono, more folky, kind of folky, kind of music, acoustic, but he reminds me of like a young Bono, and I love his voice, and so I'll probably play one of their songs tomorrow. But this band, Elephant Heart, really fun, great sound, and so if you get a chance, check them out. But I hope everyone has a great day. It is Monday. A lot of room to fuck this week up, so we'll do our best not to. And, you know, don't pick up a drink. Stay sober. You know, share your problems with other people. Be of service and have a great day.